Well, good morning, River Church family. My name is Darren Bowie. I am one of our associate pastors here. And as always, such an honor to be able to share God's word with you today. And if you're visiting us for the very first time, as we always say, welcome to the family. Yeah, we are just so grateful you chose the River Church as your place of worship today. So for over a year now, Pastor Mike has been walking us through the book of Luke. And we're going to pick back up in the book of Luke next week. When he returns, Pastor Mike, Pastor Joel, and the Cadys, they are in Georgia celebrating their uncle's 80th birthday. So we want to pray for their safe travels as they return back home. So today we're going to take a little bit of a detour from the book of Luke. And today we're going to talk about overcoming distractions. Overcoming distractions. Throughout our week, we experience all kinds of distractions. And these are distractions that take us away and pull us away from the things of the Lord. It can be our jobs. Maybe it's a deadline you're trying to meet. Or maybe it's a coworker that's not so pleasant to work with. And you got to hype yourself up to go into work to deal with this individual. That could be a distraction. Someone's laughing there. They already see that one. It could be home life. Getting kids ready for school. Doing homework. Baseball practice. Soccer practice. Maybe it's your turn to bring orange slices to the game and you forgot to go grocery shopping. Maybe you have a to-do list that keeps getting longer and longer and you just keep adding to it. Or maybe it's an unexpected expense that pops up. You might have a similar list or a variation of these types of distractions. But regardless of your list, these are distractions that pull us away from quality time with the Lord. Now, there are a ton of things that pull and distract our attention away from God. But what's interesting is, of the multitude of things that pull and distract us from God, all of these distractions fall into just two categories, and that is worry and cares of the world. Now, some of your distractions might fall into both of these categories, but all of them fall into at least one. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to overcome the distractions of worry and cares of the world and keep our focus on the things of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time of gathering. We pray we hear a word from you today that is going to challenge us and change us, Lord. Let us walk out of here different than the way we came in, looking more and more like you. Give us spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God has for us individually and has for us collectively as a church. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the enemy's biggest weapons to keep us from growing in the Lord are distractions. Keeping our attention and our focus on something else will pull us away from our personal time of study. It'll pull us away from our personal time of prayer. It'll pull us away from worshiping Him. Distractions can also keep us from fellowship. Keeping my mind negatively preoccupied in something other than God, I'll start to think, you know what, it's okay if I miss church just this week until I get this little setback taken care of. The problem is, a week turns into a month turns into a year. Next thing you know, 10 years have passed and you've been out of fellowship. So as I said, in studying for this message, what I found was the distractions that we encounter today fall into two categories, which are worry and cares of the world. Now, some of them might fall into both categories. For example, our kids growing up in this world, that is a worry. And that is a care of the world. The economy, worry, care of the world. Unexpected bill, that could be a worry. Or politics, care of the world. And probably one of the biggest distractions that we have today are our cell phones and social media. That is a care of the world. And I'm guilty of this one. You know, I'll go out to YouTube to listen to an interview or listen to a podcast or watch some interviews of something. Next thing you know, 3 hours have passed, and I've been watching humans boxing kangaroos. And Mercedes will walk in the room like, what are you watching? I'm like, I don't know, but I can't stop. How did I get there? It started with a care of the world. So worry and cares of the world are the two biggest distractions that keep us from the things of God. So let's talk about how to overcome these distractions and keep our focus on Him, starting with worry. And worry is probably the top distraction that the enemy uses to pull our attention away from God. If I'm consumed with worry, reading my Bible, praying, going to church are the furthest things from my mind. So what exactly is worry? Well, worry is defined as allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulties, troubles, and potential outcomes. Again, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulties, troubles, and potential outcomes. So if we're consumed in the outcome of something, which is what worry is, it'll pull us away from our time with the Lord. Think about times you've worried about something. Everything else kind of stops or is put on autopilot because your focus is on that issue. And many times when we worry, we dwell on the worst possible outcome of that situation, which is another trick of the enemy, dwelling on the worst possible outcome. For example, I got a splinter in my finger, and I keep looking at it and dwelling on it. Man, I think it's turning purple. You see, my finger's turning purple. I think my finger's turning purple. Then I keep looking at it and dwelling on it. I think it's infected. Do you think my finger's infected? And I keep dwelling on it and looking at it. Then again, I create the worst possible scenario in my head. I think I'm going to have my hand amputated now. So we dwell on the situation and create the worst possible outcomes in our head. So how do we overcome the distraction of worry and not allow the enemy to take up space in our heads? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 reads, "Don't worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So in this passage of Scripture, Paul is telling us flat out, don't worry about anything. Don't allow your mind to dwell on those difficulties, those troubles, those potential outcomes. But Paul doesn't just leave it at that, telling us not to worry. He gives us an alternative. When worry starts to creep in, when we start to dwell on those difficulties, those troubles, those potential outcomes, instead, the alternative to worry is prayer. Instead of worrying, this passage is telling us to pray to our Father, lay our requests before Him, lay that thing that we're worrying about before Him, and lay that worry with a cheerful and a thankful heart. And we're cheerful and we're thankful because we no longer have to carry this burden. We've given it to Him. The passage continues and says, if we're not holding on to this, we will have a peace that makes absolutely no sense to our natural mind, a peace that goes beyond our understanding. And God will guard our hearts and our minds from those attacks. Now, we're still going to be tempted to worry. That's still going to creep in. That's not going to go away. But because God is guarding our hearts and our minds, that worry just won't consume us. It won't impact us the same way. My response to it won't be the same as it usually is. I won't be consumed and up all night worrying about that thing. Think about times you've worried about something. It just consumes you. And you don't sleep. You're thinking about it nonstop. God's peace will give us rest. Psalm 121:4 says, "He who watches over us never sleeps nor slumbers." No sense in both of us being up all night. God's already up. Lay that petition at His feet. Go back to bed. Just get some rest. Now, for some of us, that's easier said than done. For me, I am a worrier by nature. And so I'm growing and learning how to actually put this scripture into practice. And I'm learning and growing how to put this passage of scripture into practice through observing my wife, Mercedes. For those who don't know my wife, Mercedes, she does not get fazed by anything or anyone. I call her the Tin Man. We could be on the couch watching a movie. I'm bawling. I'm crying. I got my tissue and snot and everything. And I'll look over at her and she's just eating popcorn. I'm like, how are you not fazed by this? His dog just died. Is there a heart in there, Tin Man? But she does not get fazed by anything. From the standpoint of prayer, I'm learning how to put this passage of scripture into practice, again, through observing her. So when our daughter Skylar was born 5.5 years ago, Mercedes received 3 months of maternity leave from the school district she worked in California. And after that 3 months was up, she was like, you know what, I can't go back to work yet. I need to be here for Skylar. So she used her vacation time for additional maternity leave. And when that time was up, she said, you know what, I think I need to take the entire year off. I'm not ready to go back to work yet. So I started crunching the numbers with our bills and our income, and the math just wasn't mathing up for her to take an entire year off. And I didn't know how we were going to do this on just one salary. And when I start kind of massaging my neck like that, that's worry kicking in for me. And Mercedes was like, "Don't worry about it. We're good. God's got us." So she took another 3 months off, which got us through the summer, so she got her summer pay. Now summer's over, but now there's this five-month window where we only have one income. And I'm worrying again. The math ain't mathing up again. And she's like, "We're good." I'm like, "Do you have a secret bank account that I'm not aware of? Because I'm not seeing this." She's like, "We're good." She said, "I prayed about this. This was my request to God to lay my petitions before him for Skylar to be home, for me to be with Skylar for that first year." And she said, "I believe God's going to honor my request." And for the next 5 months, every bill was paid. We always had food on the table. We take a vacation every year. We actually took a vacation during this period of time. Also during this period of time, our giving actually increased. So in my mind, again, worst possible scenario, we're going to be living in a car. But God pulled us through what I thought was going to be a tough financial situation. Then when we moved to Texas 2.5 years ago, she said she didn't want to go back to teaching right away. And I'm like, "Oh boy, we're going to be living in a car in Texas, in this Texas heat." Again, worst case scenario. She said she wanted to get settled and acclimated to the community she wants to teach in before going back to teaching. And I'm like, okay, again, math ain't mathing up for this to happen. And I'm starting to worry again. I'm starting to massage my neck again. So I'd occasionally ask her, you know, "How's your acclimation with Texas coming? Everything good?" But she said she prayed about this. She said, "We're good. God's got us." So she didn't work our first year here in Texas. And during that first year, we paid off our cars, became debt-free, and we bought a house. So either one of two things is going on. Either she has a secret bank account that I'm not aware of, or through prayer, God's got us. And I believe God's got us, and he's got you as well. So next year, Skylar starts kindergarten, and Mercedes is contemplating staying home that first year of school. First time she took time off, our giving increased. The second time she took time off, we paid off our cars, became debt-free, and bought a house. This time, take as much time as you need. No neck massaging going on here. I've learned my lesson. And she tells me now, she says, "You've come a long way with your worry, Pastor Darren." And whenever she calls me Pastor Darren at home, there's a hint of sarcasm behind that. So the way to overcome the distraction of worry is through prayer. Laying your petitions before him and abiding in that peace that surpasses all understanding. The second distraction that stops us from operating in the things of God are the cares of this world. And the cares of this world are defined as things of this world that we become preoccupied and obsessed with. Again, things of this world that we become preoccupied and obsessed with. And the cares of this world are going to differ from person to person. For some, it could be your children. It could be finances. It could be jobs or the economy. For you, politics may preoccupy and obsess your time. But those things may not concern the person sitting next to you. Their concerns may be completely different. But regardless of the multitude of distractions out there that impact us in this world, how to overcome them is the same. Turn with me to Luke 10, 38 through 42. And verse 38 reads, "While they were traveling, he entered a village, and he being Jesus, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to give me a hand.' Verse 41, the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her.'" So in this passage, Mary and Martha are the sisters of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. And Martha was planning to invite Jesus to her home for a meal. So all day long, she's cleaning, she's sweeping, she's going through her little recipe book. She wanted to serve Jesus this perfect meal. She was stressed out all day. She was probably running back and forth to the market. Again, she wanted to impress Jesus. And when Jesus arrived, she was still stressed out and running around doing chores. The passage of Scripture says she was distracted by her many tasks. And in this time period, it was tradition and cultural for the woman to serve a man while visiting. But Martha was a little bit on edge in this passage of Scripture here. Martha was preoccupied and obsessed, making sure the house was clean, making sure the meal was prepared, trying to make a good impression. But while she was in the kitchen preparing the meal, Mary was in the other room listening to Jesus and worshiping him. And this bothered Martha. Martha was upset with her sister. And I can imagine her, she's probably in the kitchen slamming pots and pans. She's slamming the microwave a little extra hard. I know it's no microwave, just work with me. She was chopping those olives a little extra hard, kind of mumbling under her breath. Man, sure would be nice if I had some help in here. Jesus senses her frustration in the other room, and she finally gets up, feds up, and says, "Jesus, don't you care that she's not helping me? Tell her to give me a hand." Jesus responds, "Martha, Martha." In other words, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're caught up in the day-to-day. You're caught up in tradition. You're preoccupied and obsessed. You're caught up in the cares of this world. But your sister Mary has made the right choice. She's not distracted and caught up in things that are less important. Yeah, we need to eat. Tradition says you should be serving me when I come. But your sister Mary, she's saying, right now, I am the priority. Hearing from me is the priority. Sitting at my feet and worshiping me is the priority. Jesus says Mary has made the right choice and not letting the cares of this world be a distraction. Jesus is saying, I am her priority. We should have the same mindset as Mary. Yeah, we have cars to wash, we have laundry to do, we have kids to take to practice. Out of all the things on our to-do list, out of all the things that we consider important, nothing takes priority over hearing from him and worshiping at his feet. So how do we overcome the distractions of the cares of the world? It's listening to Jesus and worshiping at his feet. Stand with me. As the band comes out, if your distraction is worry, give that worry to God in prayer. Lay your petitions at his feet. By doing so, God will guard your hearts and your minds from attack and give you a peace that nobody around you will understand. If your distraction is cares of this world, and we have a ton of things that distract us and pull our attention. We have our kids, we have family, we have jobs, just life in general. Don't let the cares of this world take priority over hearing from him and worshiping at his feet. As Jesus said in this passage, that is the right choice in overcoming the distractions of this world, which is taking every opportunity to listening to Jesus and worshiping. As we say each week, the altar is open. One of our core values here is finding freedom. So if you're consumed with worry, the altar is open to lay that worry at the feet of Jesus. If you find yourself dwelling on those difficulties, those troubles, those potential outcomes, or dwelling on the worst possible outcome, the altar is open to find that freedom. That freedom is also found in laying those cares of the world at the feet of Jesus. Those things that we're preoccupied. Those things that are pulling our attention away from him. The altar is open to find that freedom in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Father, let us make you a priority over everything that we do. Let us not be distracted by worry, but let us seek you and make your petition, our petitions known to you, so we can operate in a peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, let not the distractions of this world stop us from hearing from you and sitting at your feet. From the time that we wake up until the time that we lay our heads on our pillow at night, let us make you our priority. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.